The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, April 6th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here. We got a great show today, chock full of guns, paranoid rats, stolen equipment, and a big plate of weed. It's like a party at Hunter S. Thompson's house. We're glad to have you here. Joining us here in the studio, of course, is our engineer, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
I'm up, but you're seeming a little under the weather today.
A little bit, but I'll be okay.
Oh.
I think I just smoked too much hash oil.
Yeah, it's one of those deals, you know, you go off to those events and you're smoking pipes with all these other people, you're passing around, and it's a germ fest, man. It's a germ fest, I tell you.
Germ fest.
So I hope you get better soon.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
All right, also joining us from the virtual studio in Grass Storia is Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, guys. Now, hope you're feeling better, John. Gosh.
Oh,
so John's getting a little ill, and you're locking yourself out of your house. It's amazing we put this show together at all.
It is a little crazy. We were playing, musical house keys this weekend, and I forgot to get a key back on my key ring. So I was locked out for a while, but I'm here now.
All right.
It's all good.
Well, Cannabis Carrie brings us the hemp headlines right after this first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Pretty much just about me locking myself out of the house.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I haven't done a Border Patrol report yet this year, so I thought I better get on that. Also, we're going to talk about one of the buzzkills at the Cannabis Cup this weekend. And like you said, we're going to talk about paranoia. Is it because of the weed or is it because it's illegal? We're going to find out.
All right. And that fits in perfectly with the theme of today's show. Of course, on Wednesdays, we have Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. So we'll be talking to him at half past the hour. You can call in and ask your live questions about cannabis history, science, and culture. The phone number here is 971-533-7111. Hold off until half past, though. We'll get those calls then. Or, if you prefer, you can just text them in by chat through our Stick'em chat window at live.normal.org. You'll have to create an account, get in on the chat, but we'll get your questions answered. Also on today's show, it's Irie Wednesday, so we get some music from Grateful Dread Public Radio, Rocker T with True Ganja Man. Also, Grateful Dread debuts the new Potpourri show coming up at 5 o'clock here on the Normal Network. And then at the end of the show, a little bit of radical rant on the Second Amendment rights of medical marijuana patients. It's a very important topic here in Oregon. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
If I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Straub.
And federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We were there when 11 states decriminalized marijuana use.
Seems like such a simple message, just say no.
We were there as mandatory minimums were enacted and the drug czar was invented.
And I didn't like it and didn't inhale and never tried it again.
We were there for medical marijuana legalization in 15 states.
I inhale frequently. That was the point.
And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual national conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Straub. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
I hadn't given you a Border Patrol report in a while, so I just wanted to let you know they are still busting all kinds of marijuana smugglers with our southern border that we share with Mexico. A report from this weekend says that the Border Patrol in Tucson found 674 pounds of marijuana on Saturday, and in Edinburg, Texas this weekend they found more than 6,000 pounds of marijuana headed for the U.S. in just 2 days, along with a bust of 680 pounds of marijuana they found in a van by a river after a motorized boat left towards Mexico. Near Havana, agents found a bag with 350 pounds of marijuana and arrested two Mexican nationals. And two U.S. citizens were shot to death on Monday waiting to cross the border from Mexico into the U.S. at the San Ysidro border crossing point into California. The men were gunned down in the afternoon. The 25-year-old and the 28-year-old men were found shot several times dead in their vehicle as they were waiting to cross the border from Mexico back into the U.S. Some marijuana was recovered from the scene, according to local law enforcement. Both men worked for a beverage maintenance company in Southern California, and California prosecutors are downplaying speculation that the killings were linked to drug trafficking, saying the amount of marijuana they found was likely for personal use. In El Paso, U.S. Customs and Border Protection seized 389 pounds of marijuana on Saturday morning, concealed on a passenger bus. The bus was tipped off by a dog officer named Rabbi. The 46-year-old driver was turned over to Homeland Security, where he remains in an El Paso jail without any bond. But the most interesting Border Patrol story this weekend is one of their own being arrested on suspicion of drug smuggling while working the Yuma, Arizona sector. The unidentified, as of yet, Border Patrol agent was arrested yesterday and is being held in the Yuma County Adult Detention Center. Other agents patrolling the area of far western Arizona found numerous packages of marijuana stashed inside a marked Border Patrol truck while patrolling on Monday. The two agents that found the marijuana turned it over to a supervisor, and the acting chief of the Border Patrol's Yuma sector said he would not refer to the subject that was arrested as one of us, since he has now tarnished their image. Corruption cases involving Border Patrol agents have been increasing steadily since 2003. From 2003 to 2009, 129 custom and border protection officers and border patrol agents were arrested on corruption charges, according to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security figures. Now, those are the latest figures that have been released. So to recap, thousands of pounds of marijuana, thousands of dollars, and at least one Border Patrol agent has been taken off the road this weekend, a typical weekend for our ever-vigilant southern border agents.
Yeah, okay. So how many was the number you said of the Border Patrol agents involved in corruption charges?
129 between the years of 2003 to 2009. And 2009 are the latest statistics that they've actually released so far.
Okay, so that's 129 that we know of since 2003. Let's make sure that that's absolutely clear, because the corruption that is endemic in prohibition is not just a problem on the Mexican side of the border. It is a problem on the American side as well. Maybe not to the extent that it is in Mexico, but when these traffickers are waving around, you know, 5- and 6-figure bribes, people are only human, and these Border Patrol officers, they don't make a whole lot of money. As far as the seizures go, 600 pounds here, 6,000 pounds there, 600 pounds there. I'm glad to hear that Matt Foley, motivational speaker, finally got another gig guarding 600 pounds of weed in a van down by the river. That's good to hear. But again, drop in the bucket numbers when we're talking about the millions and millions of pounds of marijuana that are consumed in this country every year. And again, all of these stories just once again show that our Border Patrol has to be diverted from taking care of real serious crimes, you know, dealing with criminals, you know, violent, dangerous criminals who might want to cross the border, or the coyotes that are trying to traffic illegal immigrants across the border. And instead, they have to focus on these drug cases. And they've got all these agents and dogs and resources that are trying to uproot marijuana, trying to find marijuana getting across the border, when none of that marijuana need go across the border if we were allowed to grow it ourselves right here in America. You know, you don't find a whole lot of Mexican dirt weed in California. You don't find a whole lot of it in Colorado. You don't find a lot of it in Oregon or any of the states that have their own marijuana growing operations that are in full swing. Where you find it is places like, you know, Texas and Missouri and Iowa and all these places that have cracked down so hard on marijuana cultivation that the only people that can take the risk are the Mexicans and the criminals that are willing to bring this shoddy weed across the border in big compressed bales. It's time to just let us grow our own. We'll be glad to put the Mexican cartels out of business, and the Border Patrol can focus on protecting the border.
And it wasn't all fun and games at the High Time Cannabis Cup this weekend. A buzzkill for one vendor was a thief who made off with an entire cannabis growing trailer known as GrowBot. Greg Childer, who builds custom trailers for a variety of crops at his Georgia manufacturing plant, reported the 28-foot long trailer was hooked up and driven off of the Cannabis Cup trade show parking lot in full view of the security guards. Parking lot surveillance cameras captured the crime, but did not detect the license plate of the Dodge pickup truck that hitched up the trailer and drove off into the sunset. Now, the trailer was fully stocked and computerized with grow lights and a high-tech security devices. Although with the recent theft, those security devices might not be their number one selling point. Owner Greg Childer says that he has built trailers for crops other than cannabis, like mushrooms and blueberries, but medical marijuana is the number one reason he sells the fully controlled systems. The trailer that was stolen from this weekend's Cannabis Lifestyle Trade Show is valued at over $50,000, and it was full of equipment but had no crops inside. The owner is offering a $5,000 reward for information leading to the recovery of that very expensive trailer.
John, did you get to see that trailer?
I sure did.
Yeah, what's the story?
I saw it driving off into the sunset.
You saw
it? No,
right,
I'm joking.
but it's a big, we're talking like a bit, not like a little tiny U-Haul thing.
Well, yeah, too. I mean, honestly, if I was building grow trailers with all these security features, you know, it's on wheels. Maybe a GPS.
Maybe a GPS is an idea. But then, you know, maybe for people that are wanting to grow and be clandestine, that would scare them off.
Maybe.
They'd say, oh, well, I could be located, you know, but whatever. But even simpler than a GPS, a chain and a
yeah.
padlock. I mean,
there
when I go walking by the restaurants out here, they chain down the tables, like these real heavy tables. They still have a chain on them,
yeah.
you know, in the middle of broad daylight. So lesson learned, a simple purchase at the Home Depot, a chain and a padlock will keep that trailer under wraps. And if it's the same GrowBot trailer that I saw at Denver's KushCon, oh, man, that's nice stuff. But I could see how this could happen. I mean, those events, especially at teardown time, it's so busy. Everybody's running around. Nobody knows who's who.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a couple thousand people inside during the Cup Awards.
Yeah.
And this thing was outside.
Oh.
You know, it was outside by the entrance, actually. So I think it was actually probably a pretty they probably cased it out the first day and thought,
yeah.
man, that sure looks easy to steal.
Yeah, apparently it was. Well, we hope you get that back. And for those of you who stole the trailer, bad. Shame on you. Bad karma on you. This will come back to bite you in the ass.
And paranoia has long been listed as an unpleasant side effect of smoking cannabis, but the reason why smoking marijuana sometimes makes you feel paranoid might not be just because it's illegal. New research in rats is now shedding some light on the source of the distress. Stephen Laviolette from the University of Western Ontario in Canada led the study that involved training rats to fear the scent of either almond or peppermint. They delivered the scents to rats in a cage, with one set being accompanied by an electric shock to their little paws. At the same time, researchers were experimenting with the activity of the CB1 receptors in a particular region in the rat's brain. These cannabinoid receptors are activated by psychoactive components in marijuana. In some rats, the scientists blocked the CB1 receptor activity, and in others, they used a marijuana-like drug to enhance it. When scientists blocked the CB1 receptors in the basolateral amygdala area of the brain, the rats receiving strong electrical shocks never learned to fear the scent or the cage in which they received the shock. And after getting shocked, they were just as happy as unaffected rats to explore the cage and smell the scent. But when rats were given a drug to enhance the cannabinoid receptor activity, even receiving a minor shock was enough to cause them to freeze with fear when they were later exposed to the cage and or its related scent. Without the marijuana-like drug, small shocks did not have the same effect. The findings were published in the Journal of Neuroscience and suggest that activity in the basolateral amygdala is involved in the often quoted marijuana-induced paranoia. That's the state of becoming afraid of things that would normally trigger fear. The researchers concluded that marijuana is actually enhancing a type of learning about fear, leading the brain to jump to conclusions about mild experiences involving particular places or things and perceive them as scarier or more strongly connected than they are. Probably most interesting in the study findings was that researchers could prevent the enhanced fear learning in rats given the marijuana-like drug by inactivating activity in the region of the prefrontal cortex before giving them shocks. Since the prefrontal cortex is the higher level brain area involved in executive functions like planning, decision making, and controlling responses and impulses, this could explain why humans sometimes get paranoid while high. Now, the researchers were studying both regions of the brain that are implicated in the pathology of schizophrenia, hoping to find better treatments for the disorder. Knowing that abnormalities in both the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex are present in schizophrenics, and knowing that both of these areas of the brain are also critical to the effects of marijuana. Pretty interesting research.
Yeah, and we'll talk with Dr. Mitch Earlywine about this a little bit later in our cannabis science segment at half past the hour. But whenever I see a story that says, you know, why are pot smokers so paranoid, I think the 850,000 arrests might have something to do with it. I think the thousands more who are using either recreational or medically, that are using recreational or medically, who are hiding for fear of losing their homes or losing their scholarships or losing their driver's license or their employment, I think that might have something to do with it. Maybe the hundreds of us or the thousands of us every year who have the cops breaking down our doors in the middle of the night while they're wearing body armor and toting automatic weapons and shooting our pets and scaring the hell out of our children. Maybe that has something to do with us being just a little bit paranoid. But still, the study is quite interesting. And I found the first part of the study quite interesting, the part where they blocked the CB1 receptor and they found that the rats didn't get scared at all. You know, you could put them in the polka dot room with the peppermint and shock the hell out of them. And the next time you put them in the polka dot room with the peppermint, no big deal. You know what scares me about that? Imagine the application of that technology for soldiers. Imagine coming up with a drug like Rimnamabant. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was a weight loss drug they tried that would block the CB1 receptor. But imagine coming up with a special CB1 agonist here that would block that receptor and block the learning of fear for soldiers. You know, you could send them off on these, you know, cannon fodder suicide missions and such. That's a scary option for that technology that I was thinking of. And the notion that cannabis use itself heightens the sensation of fear to be afraid of things that aren't really scary, I don't know about that. Maybe the use of cannabis actually causes us to be clearer about what things are really scary. I know people that smoke pot don't tend to take the same kind of risks as people that are sober. So maybe there's something there. And to address a couple of things in the Time story, and Maya Salovitz did the story here, and she's always great, great writer on these issues. But there's a couple things, conclusions that the researchers came to that I had a problem with. And one was them saying that this cannabinoid having the effect of making you more paranoid, making you think things are scarier than they really are, leads to conspiracy thinking. They said that this study shows that this would lead to of conspiracy thinking among stoners, you know, because they put together things that aren't really scary and they make them scary they are. And I think that's completely wrong. I think what this is perfect evidence of the PSYOP plot that has been undergone by the Illuminati since 1947 and the landing out there in New Mexico of the aliens. And after they had faked the moon landing, all those scientists who worked there at that special soundstage in Hollywood, they all moved to that that Western Ontario University, and they started working on this study to make us think we're paranoid. Ah, see how that works there? It's all about the New World Order, people. I'm telling you, it's all about the New World Order.
Well, now that Crazy Russ is here, let's take a break.
This segment brought to you by Nutso. We're going to take a break and get a little more paranoid. Be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
West Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Grateful Dread Public Radio, Summit, New Jersey's progressive peace station at gdreadradio.net. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Greetings all, Grateful Dread reporting for duty. We're here in the Grateful Dread Public Radio Studios in Summit, New Jersey, and we are hard at work putting finishing touches on our new show, debuting later today on the Normal Network. Please be sure to tune in and turn on to Grateful Dread's Potpourri at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the network. It's a mix of news, music, and activism, and we ask you to send us some Irie vibes to break a tonsil. In the meantime, we have today's Irie Wednesday Toker tune for you. We feature the great Rocker T, the true ganja man. His website describes the artist as an old-school reggae ska man master who's been rocking the mic for a long time. It's true enough that he was a big-time player in the founding of the Eastern U.S. reggae ska scene. Now he's part of the On the Move Virgin City crew, shocking out and wowing crowds with his manic energy and positive messages. You can find Rocker T's music on iTunes, and by all means, check his website for info. Today, however, let's enjoy some Irie vibes from his 2005 Reggae Sound Massive recording. If you love love, show you love. This is Rocker T and True Ganja Man.
Speaking for the legalization of marijuana, Awo, 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 awa, awa, sata, ama, sata, na, la, la, Gabriel, la, Madani, la, me chant, me chant, me chant, me chant. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. Take a look in Genesis and me say book number one. Can make the herb seed for the human. It starts way back on from creation. That was the time when the weed come from. So can make the herb, give it unto Adam. That man they lose, that's how make it find Abraham. Old man Moses climb on Zion. How will they find the city in the grave of Solomon? Fireman, no way it is a weed of wisdom. Some communion for inspiration. I know they want to take my chalice out of me and them. Fight against long time tradition. Babylon is a man with wicked intention. All Babylon, they mean a malfunction. Every Rasta man is a conscious man. Plant a seed and start a weed revolution. Man, oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. They find the cure for cancer in a Babylon. And if you sick and you no fit, you want to link the child. Gabriel Alamla, Sata Amasagana. Peace and love, give thanks and praise before you bond the ganja. That is the blessing from Almighty Chancha. And who bring the message, the liquor raka. Me born and me grow as a New Yorker. But when me go round the world, they say me from America. Look in me left pocket, find a bag of ganja. Look in the same pocket, I find me lighter. Look in the next pocket, dollar and a quarter. Bring me your orange juice, I'm too high for liquor. But you men got the boom type of sense in your own. If you have a little hash, I mix it together. You pass me the herb and the dust master. I wake up on the sense in your on the street corner. So what? Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. Me talking some roots, rock and reality. And up on the mic, now the one rock a day. Me born and me grow in a New York City. Me comfort it's the people, love and unity. It's every type of man, them we smoke sense. The young and the middle and the elderly. The rich man and the man, we living in a poverty. Some them are belly full and some them are hungry. So when we get together in our community, we take a one draft, feed all our family. And pass it round the cipher, 1, 2, 3 degrees. I know you got to bless that, you want it done properly. The healing of the nation, certainly. You light it and you pass it and you feel high. Some them are follow me, some them are disagree. Nobody could have ever take away my sensitivity. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. Awo, awo, awa, awa. It's gonna be the masagan, sata amasagan, ala amlak, madani alam, me chant. Oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. Come on, oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. Come on, oh, says I fear Babylon. Tell them, say, I'm a true ganja man. No, me no fear Babylon. Tell them,
you want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Yo, what's good? This is B-Real of Cypress Hill chilling on Normal Show Live. Legalize it.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, and they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
Well, it's Hemp Day, Hump Day. It's our favorite day of the week because we always get to talk with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, our friend out at SUNY Albany. Dr. Mitch, how are you today?
Having a great one.
Oh, I hope so. Hey, I was commenting on Time Magazine. I don't know if you saw the Maya Salovitz piece on the Canadian study on pot and paranoia with the rats. We talked about that earlier. Did you get a chance to look at that?
Indeed, I did. And although I may not reach all the way to the Illuminati in my comments, I can certainly say the data are interesting, and some of the concerns that you express are actually pretty relevant.
Okay, good. You know, that's the thing. It's so hard to determine, especially when we're trying to, you know, determine how a rat's behavior is going to affect a human's behavior. And then add on top of that, that no rats are getting imprisoned for any of this stuff. Well, I guess they're getting imprisoned in those cages. So there's that.
In truth, I mean, the points you make are relevant, and the fact that it's sort of worded the way it is. So, I mean, you could easily interpret these data as further evidence for marijuana's anti-anxiety effects.
Mm-hmm.
And basically kind of support some of the stuff we've talked about on how cannabis can help folks deal with some of the anxiety disorders, particularly PTSD. The point you were making about giving it to folks prior to combat is, of course, a frightening one, and unfortunately, work like that is already being done with propranolol, another medication that works in a different neurotransmitter system. So I really do feel like your concerns are justified as far as that's concerned.
Oh, my God. And, you know, I brought up that French drug, and I can never pronounce it correctly, the one that blocks the CB1 receptor for weight loss. What was the name of that one?
Rimonabant. And, I mean, it turns out that in and of itself, I mean, what a surprise. You block the cannabinoid receptor, and people are more likely to get depressed and suicidal and things like that. The thought of turning that on soldiers fills me with fear. And even this other one, this beta blocker that seems to interfere with the way memories consolidate, I'm not above having it on hand if somebody does happen to experience a trauma, but to sort of give it to everybody as they're heading out to start shooting really, really frightens me.
Well, and how do they differentiate? I mean, we're talking about, is it the same receptor that both the weight loss, the weight suppression idea went for, and then this new proto science fiction idea of the fearless drug? I mean, would it be the same receptor, and would it both make them not hungry and fearless, or can you trick differently, you know, based on how you're expressing that receptor?
It's curious because that CB1 receptor is really very much about how the amygdala and the hippocampus talk to each other. So it's not only how we get amped up with fear, but then how we store that in memory.
Mm-hmm.
And what my concern often is it's not that people aren't afraid, it's that they just don't remember, which I think is a little bit spooky. The parts on appetite seem to work in that same receptor, but in a different area of the brain, the ventromedial hypothalamus, where a lot of our hunger stuff goes on, also has a lot of cannabinoid receptors, and when that gets stimulated, it's not about fear, it's about let's go out and chow.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned before that we've got these receptors throughout our body, throughout our brains and our organs, and it seems to be the system that maintains homeostasis in the body. And there's so much about it that we have yet to know. I mean, how many more ideas could they come up with for tripping this system? I mean, suppressing hunger, making fearlessness. What else is on the menu for DARPA and these guys that might want to make super drugs to mess with the cannabinoid system?
Sad but true, if you think about every effect that cannabis produces, then literally the every opposite of those could be created with these blockers. So here's a substance that we know makes you relaxed, mellow, and appreciative of the moment. Imagine blocking all of those experiences. You're going to be one angry, crazy dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fox viewership should go up. All right. Let's take a look at some questions we're getting here from the chat room. Miracle Seed has a question. How can I get on a cannabis clinical trial to show how safe it is if I'm a liver transplant recipient 11 years out, substituting illegal cannabis with a half milligram of Prograf as my anti-rejection medication? So to summarize, I think he's had a liver transplant, had it for 11 years, but now instead of using this Prograf as the anti-rejection med, he's using illegal cannabis. Any evidence of that? Have we heard of that before?
In fact, got a number of clinical anecdotes, and there was at least one paper published on this, at least with Hep C patients, but the funding for that research has unfortunately run out. So I'm afraid this person's individual experiences may not reach publication with the fervor they ought to. It depends on what state he's in, too, but currently, I don't think there are any grants that are studying that.
You know, I think that if cannabis use serves as a transplant anti-rejection med, Ganja John is safe for decades.
Yeah, I'm going to be good.
You're going to be fine. All right. Hey, folks, by the way, you can get your questions in on the chat room. Just make sure put the word question in front of it, and Carrie can pick that up. Or if you're listening live, you can call us at 971-533-7111 and ask your question of Dr. Mitch Earlywine, one of the leading researchers and experts in cannabis in America. Our next question from Mountain Lover asks, is the euphoria from cannabis caused by relaxation? Could you elaborate on what causes euphoria from inhaling cannabis?
This is one of those great mysteries, and it looks like downstream, at least, once you've hit that cannabinoid receptor and gotten it to fire the way THC does, subsequent neurotransmitter systems are also activated, so it really does get to pleasure centers in the brain. So it's not just the removal of something noxious like tension, it's also the actual creation of genuine delight, if you will. It's not, you know, the way cocaine does it or heroin or something like that, but in that dopamine system further down the line, it does create basically a positive experience, not just the escape of negative ones.
And this gives us an opportunity to debunk something I've heard from drug war, our opponents in the drug war, who say that smoking pot does cause a pleasure like cocaine, or like in the same way it acts on the same pleasure centers. They always keep it the language nice and cloudy, but can you know, confirm once and for all, the way cocaine, heroin, or meth gets you high is not the same brain function as the way cannabis gets you high?
The key is this structure called the raphe nucleus, and cocaine and the stimulants tend to go right for it and have it just empty all the dopamine out right away. Cannabis is nowhere near that direct in that function, and that's why the essential addictive propensity is so much more decreased. So because you don't have this rapid depletion in dopamine, you don't get that crazy up and down that poor meth and crack cocaine smokers experience.
So is it true then what they say, that, you know, there is dopamine involved, because anything that's pleasurable, there's dopamine involved?
Yeah, I mean, there's dopamine involved in sex and watching TV and in eating good food. I mean, it's unfair to say, oh, and cannabis works the same way as cocaine, unless you're willing to say, and television works the same way as cocaine.
Well, it depends on the show, Dr. Mitch.
Absolutely.
A question here from Dolink, who asks, he read about a relationship between tooth decay and smoking pot. True? And if so, is there a difference between vaporizing and smoking it?
There was one study that suggested a link between cannabis use and gum disease, and it was rather poorly done because it failed to control for basically how often you brushed and flossed. Now, I think everyone has had that experience where you hit the chronic hard and you have a nice bowl of oatmeal or whatever is your treat of the night and forget to go do your standard hygiene acts and then end up in a little bit of trouble in the morning. But obviously the thing to do, of course, is have your floss and toothbrush right by the bed or right on top of the TV or wherever you know you're going to see it as you're experiencing those wind down moments of that descending limb of the cannabis experience, and I'm sure it would be no problem. The gums are sensitive to heat, so anything that's going to create a cooler vapor or smoke is going to be better, and that's, of course, another reason to support vaporization.
All right.
Also, one of the major side effects, cottonmouth, is pretty bad for your teeth. So if you get cottonmouth really bad, you should be drinking a lot of water when you're smoking.
Oh, that's right. Ganja John's dad, you know, Ganja Dad's a dentist. So
yeah,
we get to learn all those little things here, too. Thanks, John. We got another question here. Stereotype wants to know, have cannabinoids been found to interact with telomerase? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Telomerase?
Telomeres?
Telomerase.
I'm afraid I'm not familiar with that enzyme, but I will look that one up.
All right, that'll be on next week's show, Rio. Rio's going to give us a stumper question, you know that. All right, Smitty Greensmile has a question. Recent research has discovered a protein in the brain that is linked to schizophrenia. How does this new research prove or disprove the link between cannabis use and schizophrenia?
I mean, I should emphasize that I'm not crystal clear on this protein schizophrenia link, and it certainly doesn't seem to be present in all cases of psychosis. The clincher here is generally this cannabis to psychosis link isn't replicating with the kind of magnitude and consistency that people are really suggesting often in the media. So I'm looking at some new data to try to explain it. I think that link is actually one that's more related to those dopaminergic drugs we mentioned before, cocaine and amphetamine and things like that. I think in some of these longitudinal studies that started back in the day, people who might have been willing to confess to using marijuana were reluctant to say they had used cocaine or amphetamine. And yet cocaine and amphetamine have been linked to psychotic experiences much more directly. They work in the dopamine system. That's where a lot of the dysfunction in schizophrenia seems to essentially begin, and so I think that this is really a product of our inability to rely on self-report rather than anything else.
Okay. Stereotype gives us an update. Telomerase is an enzyme that adds DNA sequence repeats in all vertebrates to the 3-foot end of DNA strands in the telomere regions. Ooh.
So the thing with the telomeres then is that they would, in a sense, if you could preserve them, you would decrease the rate at which you age.
Oh,
but unfortunately, we don't have the data on cannabinoids themselves altering that process. We have seen strong antioxidant properties of cannabinoids more generally, so that things aren't going to get in the way of that protein synthesis, and that may explain why Elvia Musica looks like she's 50. But you know, again, we're still just investigating.
Yeah. More research needs to be done, and we're doing it every day. Got a question here from Nathan AR, who wants to know: of course, we can overdose and take too much and get undesired effects. But does evidence exist of any fatal dose of cannabis?
It took a whopping 5,000 years, but finally somebody got a bad case of tachycardia after smoking pot, meaning their heart rate increased, and this person had a heart attack, and they finally blamed that one as the lone case of marijuana-related death. I find it rather uncompelling, given the number of people with heart disease who have smoked marijuana. We would expect a hell of a lot more cases than that, but this is the one that seems to be getting all the press. In truth, I've tried to work out a toxic dose, basically a lethal dose, based on some of the animal work. If you smoked 2 pounds in about an hour, that would be it. But as my undergrads say, if you smoke 2 pounds by yourself, you deserve to die.
Yes, share. You got to share, man. And do we have any other data on this one death as far as, you know, body mass index, diet, anything like that?
It's funny because it's a case study where the guy obviously already had heart problems, or they wouldn't have been able to document this. And I think that blaming on cannabis is ridiculous, because it's, you know, it may have just been a statistical fluke. But the tachycardia is real. If you have a problem with the rate of your heartbeat or the consistency of it, then yeah, any substance that would increase your heart rate is going to be potentially problematic.
Okay. How about with concentrates, or if somebody were to do something really weird and take THC intravenously or something, or Sativex or something, I mean, could you realistically come up with a way to overdose on it?
You would need literally, I mean, so like a 160-pound guy would have to take an extract so that he'd get 125 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. You would just be so baked out of your skull before that happened that I can't even imagine how it would.
I imagine you'd fall asleep really fast.
You couldn't accomplish the task. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Johnny, we got time for a couple more questions. I want to let folks know, if you don't get your question here in on the show, we'll be back next week with more cannabis science, or you can send an email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com, and Dr. Mitchell will take a look at that, maybe answer, maybe we'll bring it up on the show in the next segment. So let's go to Johnny Vision here, who has a question asking, how useful is cannabis for treating Parkinson's syndromes?
As it turns out, we haven't had a ton of good cases with Parkinson's, despite a whole lot of looking. So it looks like this is one disorder, both Huntington's chorea and Parkinson's, although it can certainly take the edge off the anxiety, et cetera, we're not seeing the same kind of improvements that we see in cerebral palsy or something like that.
Okay. And we have a question from Yelawana Cake, and she's currently teaching classes out there at Alternative Medical Choices on edible preparations and making tinctures and various edible methods of using cannabis. And she wanted to know if you could discuss the difference between sublingual versus edible applications regarding how long before they take effect and how long you could expect them to last.
Yes, I see her on the camera right now. She certainly looks like she's teaching.
Busted.
I love the sublingual administration, because essentially, you know, underneath your tongue there, that's a, you know, really rich mucous membrane there where a whole lot of stuff can be absorbed, and it tends to be more rapid, you know, a half an hour to 45 minutes with a lot of substances, than oral administration, where you actually swallow it. It takes the stomach and the liver more time to break these things down, usually an hour and a half to 3 hours. I also feel like because of that more rapid onset, people are a little less likely to freak out their dosage. And since you know, sort of notice earlier on, you have an easier time guessing what your appropriate dosage is until you learn the amount that you need. All in all, if you can get sublingual things, it works really well. Sativax essentially works in that same principle, and a number of alcohol-based tinctures should be absorbed that way relatively efficiently.
All right, and that's going to have to do it for our time here with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We want to thank everyone who had their questions in for us. And Dr. Mitch, before we let you go, are there any events or book information that we should give people before we let you go?
I am going to be speaking about the humor book down in Florida in May, and I will give folks more details as that comes closer.
All right. That's Humor 101, part of the Psych 101 series. Great book. We've read it, both John and I, out here, and we love it. And thanks for the copies. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Coming up next, we got a little radical ranting. We're going to talk about your Second Amendment rights as a medical marijuana patient. Do you actually have any? We'll be right back after this.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com
or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. And getting into a radical rant now that I call, do medical marijuana patients have Second Amendment rights? And this is focusing on a court case here that has gone all the way to the Oregon Supreme Court, being argued. One of the attorneys arguing for this case, too, is Leland Berger from the Normal Legal Committee, a good friend of the show, good personal friend of mine. So really excited about this case, or actually a little scared about this case, because it'll be interesting to see how it's decided. In every Oregon court up till now, it has gone our way. And let me fill you in basically on the story. What we're dealing with is a medical marijuana patient in the state of Oregon, and a few of them actually, and in a couple different counties, where the sheriffs there have interpreted the law that says, the federal law that says, you cannot give a gun permit to someone who has who is a drug addict. They're interpreting you having a medical marijuana card as being a drug addict, and either not renewing their permit or not granting their permit, or in one case, I think in this lady's case, taking her medical marijuana permit, or her gun permit, excuse me. So I'm going to go to some video now here that we have. This was from Fox News and the Shepard Smith program, whichever program that is. I'll give you a replay of this, but they had a little discussion on this on Fox News, and let's see if we can get this video, get them audio there, and we'll play this Fox News clip for you.
Weed and weapons don't mix, but what about a concealed handgun permit and a medical marijuana card? That takes us to this woman in Oregon. Her name is Cynthia Willis. She's fighting for her right to have both, not use them simultaneously, but to have them both. Police took away her gun permit after learning that she used medically prescribed marijuana to treat arthritis pain and muscle spasms. The cops cite the 1968, let me repeat, the 1968 United States Gun Control Act, which prohibits selling weapons to drug addicts.
We're not a bunch of gun nuts.
No, you're not a bunch of gun nuts. They say that includes medical marijuana users. But the woman and three other plaintiffs in this case say their state gun rights trump the federal law. And they've taken their case to Oregon's Supreme Court. So we will take it to our legal panel. The criminal defense attorney, Randy Zellin, in the House. Former prosecutor, Tom Kniff, also IE. What say you?
I think that this is a blatant violation of Cynthia Willis's rights to equal protection under the law. Owning a handgun, whether we support the Second Amendment or not, it's there. It's a fundamental right. Anytime the state is passing legislation that's going to infringe on an individual's fundamental rights, they need to show a compelling state interest, and they need to show that there weren't other less restrictive means to deal with this situation. What are the less restrictive means? You don't have to put a blanket ban on her right to possess a handgun. You say, look, you're a medical marijuana user. You can't go to the range when you're high,
right?
But it doesn't mean that you can't have a gun at all, period.
Mr. Z,
not right.
Counselor?
I love Tom.
Oh, well.
This is why I hate lawyers.
It's always bad when it starts
Can
with
we
that.
Inject a little bit of common sense into this discussion? Who in their right mind could actually argue that guns and pot go together?
She didn't argue that.
We're about to argue that guns and pot go together. We're exactly going to do that right here at the Radical Rant. First of all, I got to give you my background. You know, being somebody who grew up in Idaho, where gun control means using both hands, it's something that I have a definite opinion on, and that is, who could use a medical who could use a concealed gun more than a medical marijuana patient? I want to clue you in on a couple of stories that this is related to, just from our own area here. And looking at right now, this is a story that was in the Willamette Week. It was called Hijacked. Hijacked. Get it? High, because he was hijacked. Get it, John? That's funny. Hijacked.
Another pun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't believe
but what
it.
This is a story about a friend of ours, David Verstappen, who's a grandfather, who was on Halloween night. This was back in 2008. Halloween night was attacked in his own home by a couple of masked intruders who came in. Now, David is a medical marijuana, award-winning medical marijuana grower here in the state. You know, he won the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards 3 times. So when this grandfather is at his home, these guys come in and they his wife and his sister-in-law fled out the front door. Verstappen grappled with the gunman. A guy with a gun comes into his house to try to rip off his plants. The second invader beat Verstappen over the head with a 7-iron golf club until it broke in half. Right, so this 5'10", 220-pound former timber feller named David Verstappen, a great guy, is fighting for his life against two intruders, one with a gun, one with a golf club that's beating him over the head. And this is how they take the picture of him in the Willamette Week. They surround him with pot leaves, golf clubs, and pistols. Yeah, that's the kind of support we get here in Oregon for the medical marijuana patients. Hijacked, right? And then, yeah, there's another story. We have the story of Steven Sarich up in the Pacific Northwest. He was wounded and shot. He had to shoot away intruders that came to his house to rob him of medical marijuana. This is happening all the time in this state and many other medical marijuana states that do not have dispensary access, that force people to have to grow their own at home, which is fine. We like to support people's right to grow their own. But this also leaves them targets for intruders, leaves them targets for rippers. People we know right here in Portland, in our own community, have had their properties violated, their homes violated by the rippers, with the trails of leaves leading away from the home because of the prohibition that makes this plant worth half as much as gold. Right? The rippers can come in and make thousands of dollars off of someone's hard work of growing medicine for a sick and disabled person, because we do the sensible thing and legalize it for everyone and bring that price down and bring that supply up and allow anybody who wants to be able to get it to get it, to end this this crazy scarcity that needn't exist for a weed. There's no reason anybody should be stealing or shooting or trying to harm one another to get a hold of cannabis. But that's the situation we're in here. So since we're in that situation, and since we do have a Second Amendment in this country, which has recently been decided by the Supreme Court to equal an individual personal right to keep and bear arms, we should not be taking that away from the people it was most designed to protect. People in rural Oregon, Dave Verstappen lives way the hell out there in rural Oregon, where even if he had the ability to call 911, it's going to be 9, 10, 20 minutes before the cops get there. So we want to take away the concealed handgun rights of people like him, or people like the other plaintiffs in this case, the woman they mentioned on Fox News, the other gentleman who is quite disabled, unable to defend himself like Dave Verstappen could. We've got to uphold these firearm rights for medical marijuana patients. There is nothing about using your lawful medication that should lead you to losing your Second Amendment rights. And this went on in this Fox News piece. They talked about how, you know, we're not taking away the gun rights of people that are using OxyContin or people that are using alcohol or anything like that. In fact, we kind of have this wink, wink, nudge in the Pacific Northwest about hunting and taking out a 12-pack of beer. And I hear about that in the upper Midwest all the time too. Nothing wrong with beer and guns, but God forbid anybody lights a joint to their lips and possibly not even taking a gun out, right? These cases have nothing to do with someone going out and firing guns or wanting to hunt or anything. This is personal possession of a concealed firearm to protect oneself is what we're talking about here. Not while they're using pot. It has nothing to do with that. And this guy on the Fox News talking about, oh, you know, it doesn't go together, having pot and being high and having a gun. This is just ridiculous. Has nothing to do with getting high. These people are medicating. They are taking a medication. It's not about having a good time and partying. It's about living a life free from pain. and exercising the right as an American to protect themselves with a concealed firearm. It seems a simple case, and every court so far that has heard this case has not only recognized that Second Amendment right, but also recognized that in this situation, the federal law, while it does have a supremacy over the illegality of marijuana, it does not have a supremacy over the state's abilities to regulate firearms. It's the same argument that we got in the in some of the other medical marijuana cases where they tried to argue that the federal government had the right to tell doctors what they could or couldn't say. That was a First Amendment right that was protected. The states have the right to regulate medicine. The states have the right to regulate firearms. It's time for the federal government to get their nose out of this business. And I sure hope the Oregon Supreme Court does the sensible thing and rules in favor of the defendants here, rules in favor of the people who need their Second Amendment rights, and prevents these prosecutors, prevents these sheriffs from intruding on our civil rights. All right, folks, that's the Radical Rant for today. I'm Radical Russ, and for Ganja John, Calico the intern, and Cannabis Carry, thanks for joining us here on the Live Hour. For those of you on the podcast, we'll talk to you tomorrow. For those of you listening live, stay tuned. We're back in a second. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smoother.